Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Thank you for being here. If I don't know you, my name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors. It seems like we are living in some interesting times. So this week, there's a lot of things going on. At least it seems like there has to be a lot going on for it to come into my world. I'm not like on social media a lot or watch the news all the time. But in my own world, there's a pastor connected with us in Kansas City who we've been praying for that has COVID really, really bad, and we'll see if he makes it. It's not looking very good, but God may yet have more for him. And just hearing about Afghanistan and how easily the Taliban swept through and took over what we had hoped to put in place, we as the world, I guess. And even thinking about that compared to Vietnam and the challenges of brothers and sisters in Christ there, what they're facing, and people, and just earthquakes and people displaced and with lost loved ones in Haiti. And there's a heaviness in it. And so I want to look at that. What do we make of all this suffering and death? It feels heavy to me. What should we do? Should we freak out? Should we build some bunkers? Should we buy some guns? Should we lock our kids in the house? What should we make of it? What does God have for us? What is His perspective for us? Will He spare us from this hardship? My hope today is to give us courage and to give us joy a little bit, hopefully, in the face of hardship and death. And so my desire is for us not to live in fear, but to walk in a vibrant, humble faith in the living God, who is the Savior. But what I'm going to start with might not sound very encouraging or joyful, even though that's what I want to pass on today. In this life, there is pain and suffering and death. We all see it. It's a reality. It's definitely a broken reality. I think we sense that it could be different. It should be different. But it is the reality that we live in nonetheless. And Jesus does not invite us into a life without suffering and without death. If you hear that offer, it's not from Him. It is not an offer on the table. Don't trust in that. But Jesus does promise to be with us in our pain and death, and He promises to overcome suffering and death. On the other side of pain and death, there's a newness. There's a new life. There's a restoration of the way things were meant to be. Jesus is going to restore all things to the way that we sense life should be. I don't know if you sense that. Like, there's a way life should be. It's the newness that we all long for, even that our spirits groan for. And so, why don't we pray and just offer this time to God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have in the midst of this. God, I thank you that we can laugh. I thank you that we can enjoy each other. I thank you that we can walk through this life that has the reality of pain and death, sorrow, with you. Thank you for being with us. God, I ask you today that you would give us courage. I ask that you would give us faith. I ask that you would give us joy and hope. I ask that you would instill in us and teach us. What would you have for us today, God? Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in John 16, Jesus has just finished telling his followers about this hardship that's coming. And he tells them he's not going to spare them from it. And that they will be hated and mistreated and killed. And then in 16:33, Jesus tells them, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So the assurance from Jesus that he's giving is we are going to have troubles. I come back to this verse a lot. I just feel like there's something so rich in it. We're not going to be spared from pain or death. We are going to die. Our loved ones will experience pain and death. So Jesus takes the time to tell his followers about these horrible things that are going to happen. And then he says, so take heart. Be of good courage. Are these words from Jesus encouraging? They don't give me like this happy-go-lucky sense of life, but they do encourage me in some kind of sobering but really hopeful way. These words were not just for Jesus' early disciples. He's saying them through the scriptures to all of us. Why did Jesus want his disciples to know about hardship that was coming? Why does Jesus want us to know that we will experience hardship? He says it so that we may have peace. That's what he says. And that peace is in him. He wants us to know that something is not wrong if we are experiencing pain or death. We are not outside of God's will. And he wants us to know where we can turn to for peace when there isn't peace around us. We can have peace in Jesus in the midst of anything that's going on in the world. Because he has overcome the world. He is bigger than just the physical reality we live in. He is not bound just by this material world, nor are we. We are not limited by this world, by our material experience only. Jesus has overcome that for us. So in Jesus, we're given freedom from the fear of death. In Hebrews 2:14 and 15 it says, since the children, that's people, have flesh and blood, he, meaning Jesus, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. So I want to read that again. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So Jesus became like people. He left heaven, and he took on flesh and blood, and his death that he didn't deserve, that was for our sake, was able to break the devil's power. The devil had the power of death. We were slaves to being afraid of death. I can see how that is bondage. What about you guys in your lives? Have you seen or experienced how enslaving the fear of death is? How it can be bondage? He wants to set us free from that. He set us free from the fear of death by breaking the hold the devil had on us. We no longer belong to the devil. His claim over us has been ransomed. It's been canceled, paid for by the blood of Jesus. He no longer has power over us, and death is no longer the end. So Jesus set us free from the fear of death by demonstrating that death is not the end. It's just a transition. After Jesus died, God raised him from the dead. Jesus is the first one of the resurrection with a promise that we will follow. Let's look at another teaching of Jesus about not fearing death. So in this speech, the reason Jesus is going to give to us to not fear death is because of the fact that we have great worth in God's sight. God cares deeply for us. God is bigger than death. Therefore, we should have greater reverence for God than for death. God sees our death. God cares for us in death. So this is how Jesus says it in Luke 12. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I'm going to read that again. Let's do that one more time. Thank you, Jesus, for these awesome words. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So death will come. We will not be spared from death. Your loved ones will not be spared from death. But God will care for you as you pass through the time of death. In our own hearts, is God bigger than death? Do we have greater fear of God than we do of death? Does his great care for us through death comfort us and give us courage? Or do I still wish he would say, hey, follow me, and you'll never have pain, and you'll never experience any death? That's not an option. Sometimes I wish it was. Will we trust the care of God through our hardships? Even our own death? So, if we shouldn't fear death, how should we view death? I've been thinking about this for the past few weeks. So, I don't think the solution in order to not fear death is just to hide under the blankets and pretend like death is not there, like it's not actually going to affect me. Nor do I think the solution is just to dismiss death and say, yeah, it's really not a big deal. Like, whatever, because it is a big deal. I think we can face death, look it in the eyes, and look it in the eyes of faith, and view it not with fear, but with what? And the conclusions I've come to, and I'd love to continue this conversation with you, is that we can face God, face death with a sober acknowledgement of the reality. the reality of what it is, and also from a sober reality that has a bigger perspective. A bigger perspective that death is not the end. It's just a big change. I think that we can view death with compassion, sharing in the grief of those who have suffered loss, not with a coldness like, it doesn't matter. Our grief in loss matters to God. The grief that we experience does matter. He doesn't just sweep the pain under the rug, say, oh, get over it, but he cares about it. He offers us comfort. He offers to be close to us in the middle of it. A lack of compassion says pain's not a big, it's not a big deal. But compassion says, your pain matters to me, and I care about it. And I think that's how God sees it, and that's how I think we should see it. I think another one this pushes on me, I think that we should view death with hope and with anticipation of better things ahead. Paul even says in Philippians, he says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better. This isn't our true home. We're just passing through. Not only is the next life made right and restored as God intended it to be, but our suffering and death for Christ is of great value. It is of great worth. Our suffering is not wasted. In Philippians, at the end of chapter 1, Paul says that it has been granted to us not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. It's been given to us. And then he goes on in chapter 3 to say, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Like, I want that. And there's something really beautiful in that to me, something really, really inspiring, something refining, something, it's just so core to that connection with God of sharing in the cross. We're called to share in the cross of Christ. It's part of the journey, part of what we're offered in Jesus. And when I hear this, there's something inside my spirit that says, yes, I want to share in the cross with Jesus. I want to know him in that intimate way. And then there's part of me that says, no. Part of me that says, I'd rather hide. There's got to be a place where I can escape the cross, where I can escape. And even this week, as I've been looking at different things, I've wrestled, as I have many times, with the fear of people I love, especially my kids, having to face suffering and dying. And at times this fear grips me, grabs me. And at other times, my spirit says, God is bigger. I can trust him in the middle of that. And I don't know what kind of wrestle that you have. I watched a little documentary last weekend on the persecuted church. And when I see people have suffered really intensely, man, it inspires me. They have such a bigger perspective. They help me see this bigger hope that's there, this bigger picture. But I still have this wrestle to overcome my own fear. It's an ongoing journey to be free from the fear of death. So what would it look like to face our fear and to overcome our fear? And I don't think it's a one-time thing. I don't think we can just completely overcome the fear of death in one moment. I think it's an ongoing journey to overcome the fear. But I don't think that we can do it on our own. It doesn't come from us. We need something bigger than fear. What is bigger than fear? Or I should say, we need someone bigger than fear. I love how Psalm 56, 3 and 4 says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" I appreciate it. Bruce gave a message about 4 years ago on overcoming fear. And he was saying how fear's a bully. And fear loves to bully us. And one of the best things when there's a bully is to walk with somebody big. And if you're walking down the sidewalk with two football players and this bully comes, there's not a lot of fear. And when we walk with Almighty God, He has the power to overshadow the fear that wants to bully us, that wants to come at us in our life. So what does faith in the living God who's bigger than the fear of death look like? What is that kind of faith? What would that look like to walk in that kind of faith? And what I see is that it's a faith that sees life through a bigger perspective. It's able to step back and see a bigger picture. And included in that bigger picture is the reality that death is not the end. It's an important transition. And I think it's a faith that finds in God a safe place. It finds a place without fear. And I think in order to find this safe place, part of what that means for us, it means turning off the media, disconnecting from the fear-mongering and all the things around us, and it means leaving and just going to be with God. It means spending time with the Almighty, who is bigger. It means listening to His perspective, letting His words have power in our lives. I like how Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." He's bigger than it all. And so sometimes, I just want to say, taking the time to disconnect and be still and be with God is not hiding in a hole. Because instead, the hole is a small place. Going with God is going to this big place. It's going to a place where all things are under His control. A place where He knows the end. A place where He is able to take everything that's intended for evil and use it for good. It's going and being with Him where all things are right. In His presence. And for us to learn how to just be still, to learn how to be with God, to be with Him in that greater reality. I just want to encourage all of us in our faith to just take that time to be with God. Let His perspective come in. I think also this bigger faith that's bigger than fear is a faith that finds joy in God. Wherever we're at, in the midst of suffering. To me, that means that we should enjoy what we have without clinging to it. Because nothing in this life is permanent, except the people, except those relationships, except those bonds that we're forming, they're permanent. So enjoying God, it means enjoying His gifts. Enjoy the gifts that God has given us, but we got to be pretty open-handed because we don't get to keep them. But to really enjoy the people that God's put in my life, I've been hugging my kids extra this week. Take the time to hug the people that you love in your life. Enjoy them. God gives us so many gifts to enjoy. I gave a message a few months ago. I just encourage you, if you're like me and like walking in joy rather than in the seriousness of life is challenging for you, to even listen to that again. But just to take the time, as a family, we take the time every now and then just to stop and remember some joyful times. God gave those as gifts to bring joy into our life. And again, from that place of joy, I believe we can hear the voice of God better than from a place of anxiety. From a place of anxiety, it's really hard to hear the voice of God. But from a place of joy. And then joy goes even deeper beyond just the gifts of God into the presence of God. There is boundless joy in the presence of God. And I have only tapped into that a little bit in my own life, to learn how to find that amazing joy in the presence of God that has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with success or failure. It has nothing to do with favor or dishonor. It just has to do with the presence of God in this amazing love that He surrounds us with, that we can find joy in that. I also think that this faith is a faith that brings a deep hope that God has good for us in the midst of suffering and death. God has good in there. And when I hear the stories of people as they walk through this, there's goodness of God in the middle of it. God brings goodness in the middle of it. The painful journey that we walk on is good because God's in it. He loves us. We are surrounded by love from God, from a God who will never leave us. And we're also surrounded by love from God's vessels of love, His people, His angels, that He's put in our lives to show us love, to demonstrate and pour out love to us. God is here in the midst of the challenges of life, in the suffering. And all of our suffering and all of our and death, it's not wasted. It counts for something. It accomplishes something. It accomplishes something in our own lives, in our own walk with God. It accomplishes something in the greater kingdom of God. It is not wasted, but God uses it. And there is hope in that, even as we look to the future. I want to take a little bit of time. I want to invite you guys into a time just before God to take any fears that we have, to look them in the eyes, and then to let God cover those with His truth and His love and His power and His greatness, and give us a greater perspective that's bigger than that. So as I'm inviting you into this, I realize a few things. Number one, it's slightly challenging to just all of a sudden in this moment, okay, I'm going to try to connect with God. I realize that's like challenging. I also realize that a few minutes is not nearly enough time. Yesterday I spent a whole hour, and I took the time to write out some of the fears that I have in my life, and I took the time to let God's truth and things that He brought to my mind just cover, wash over, and speak into each and every one of those. And it was such a gift to me. And I feel like it took those fears and just dissolved them, turned them into what they are, gave me a bigger perspective, filled me with hope and peace. And so I realize a few minutes is probably not enough. So even as I invite you into this, I recognize that. And I want to maybe even, hopefully it just kind of maybe starts that process where maybe even this afternoon, if you have some time, dump some of those on God. Let Him speak into them. So a really simple activity, I want, if you guys want to join me in it, on the back of your paper, we're just going to take a little time, and there's just two parts. And the first is just to look at those. What am I afraid of or anxious about? or we could even say concerned about. What fears do I have? Fears, anxieties, concerns. I'm just going to put them there. I'm just going to lay them out there. I'm going to look them in the eyes. I'm going to bring them before God. Say, they're in there. If anybody has none at all, I got a couple I can share with you. But you probably don't want mine. So we're just going to take a few minutes to do that. Not even a few, a couple minutes just to do that. And then after that, we're going to turn our eyes to God. And this is the prayer. Sovereign God, what would you like me to know about those fears that I wrote down? What would you want me to bring to mind? What would you like to remind me of? What would you like to say about those? And you might already have some thoughts, even as you write it down. I know God's truth about that. So we'll take a couple minutes on that just to let God kind of speak into those. And then just thank you, Jesus, that I can trust you. So I'm going to pray for our time. All right, God, I thank you for this time. I ask that you would draw out anything that we are concerned or anxious or afraid of. I thank you that we are not slaves to any of those. They are not our master. You are bigger than all of them. God, I pray in this time that you would speak into those, that our hearts would be drawn into a deeper place of trust and joy. Thank you for the wonderful blessings of life. Thank you for the people that you have given in my life along this journey that love me and inspire me. Thank you for never leaving or forsaking me. Thank you for the amazing plans you have. God, I pray that you would speak deeply into us today in what we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.